Blog Talk Radio.
Your place, love connection. Your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Here's your host, Dr. Susie.
Wow, we are so excited to have you with us today here on Your Place Love Connection Bible Study. We are just glad that you're in the studio with us tonight. We're going to be dealing with the topic of, are you anything like Jonah? And if you would join us now, we're going to start off with our devotion. We'll have a song by June Rochelle, scripture by Eric Jefferson, and a prayer by Dr. James Nook.
Now it's time to worship. Worship His name. Give Him all the glory.
Reading, we have a foundational text, which is Jonah 1,
1 through 3, but tonight I'll be reading for you Jonah 4, which we're going to study tonight. This is out of the New Living Translation. Jonah chapter 4, verses 1 through 11, and the word of the Lord. This change of plans upset Jonah, and he became very angry. So he complained to the Lord about it. "Didn't I say before I left that you wouldn't do this, Lord? That is why I ran away to Tarshish. I knew that you were a gracious and compassionate God, slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love. I knew how easily you could cancel your plans for destroying these people. Just kill me now, Lord. I'd rather be dead than alive because nothing I predicted is going to happen." The Lord replied, "Is it right for you to be angry about this?" Then Jonah went out to the east side of the city and made a shelter to sit under as he waited to see if anything would happen to the city. And the Lord God arranged for a leafy plant to grow there. And soon it spread its broad leaves over Jonah's head, shading him from the sun. This eased some of his discomfort, and Jonah was very grateful for the plant. But God also prepared a worm. The next morning, at dawn, the worm ate through the stem of the plant so that it soon died and withered away. And the sun grew hot. God sent a scorching east wind to blow on Jonah. The sun beat down on his head until he grew faint and wished to die. "Death is certainly better than this," he exclaimed. Then God said to Jonah, "Is it right for you to be angry because the plant died?" "Yes," Jonah retorted, "even angry enough to die." So then the Lord said, "You feel sorry about the plant, though you did nothing to put it there. And a plant is only, at best, short-lived. But Nineveh has more than 120,000 people living in spiritual darkness, not to mention all the animals. Shouldn't I feel sorry for such a great city?" I've read for you the fourth chapter of Jonah, verses 1 through 11. The word of the Lord for the people of the Lord, and may we be moved to do his will.
Amen.
Amen.
Let us pray. God, we come before you this evening. We're so grateful for your word, and we're so grateful for your spirit and your presence in our lives. We pray that you would bless our teacher in a special way and our leader also. Brother Eric is our teacher and Dr. Susie is our leader. And we pray for those that would be on the line that we might grow. We might gain a better understanding of what you have for us in our lives and the direction we should go. Give us the strength and the faith to follow you. God, we know you love us. Sometimes we don't understand all you do, but we know that you care about us. So we walk in faith, leaning and depending on you. Bless us in a special way, God. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
We're so excited to have everybody on the line tonight. This is a special evening. Brother Jefferson has been teaching us a wonderful, wonderful lesson on Jonah. And we have some really serious questions that we want to ask our radio audience and the people in the studio to be asking themselves as we look at the study of Jonah. Are you anything like Jonah? And the first question Brother Eric had us to ask was, are you running from anything? So we had to ask that question. And even though you haven't been maybe right now, but have you ever ran from anything? Are you praying or talking? And the text was talking about Jonah going. So the question is, when God tasks you, T-A-S-K, are you going now? And tonight, Brother Eric is bringing it on home. And many of us, if y'all didn't identify with the ones we had before, everybody ought to be able to identify with the one tonight. Tonight's question is, are you angry with God? And we'll be looking at Jonah 4, 1 through 11. So, Brother Eric, if you are ready tonight, let's go, let's go, let's go.
Thank you, Dr. Susie. And let me start by saying, Dr. Susie, I want to personally acknowledge and thank you. As Dr. Nixon stated, you have been leading this group for, 11, 12 years now? I know we're over 10. Forgive me, because my memory is not what it used to be once I crossed 50, so bear with me here.
It was 2005.
But you have been diligent and faithful, and sometimes dragging some of us screaming and kicking. And so I want to personally acknowledge that tonight, because what I've come to understand is that this study on Tuesday night is a highlight for most of us during the week. Even though we may attend other churches and, you know, Sundays and Wednesdays and all of that, but for me personally, this is a highlight, and I am humbled to be able to lead the group when my turn comes up. And so I want to thank you for that, and Dr. Nooks for being faithful as always and giving sound reasoning to our study. I just want to thank you both. And for those others who have been with us and may be here tonight and may not be here, each and every one of you, Brother Carver, Mark, Brett, Sean, it has meant a lot to be a part of this group for the past 12 years. So thank you all very, very much. So, hey, group, are we anything like Jonah? And if we're truthful with ourselves, and if we're truthful with ourselves, we would say yes.
Yes.
Jonah was a prophet. Jonah was given instructions by God, and Jonah didn't like those instructions, and he went the other way. And then when he ended up in the belly of the whale because of his decision, on the occasion it says he prayed, but I still submit that he could have been just talking, because he made some accusations against God that wasn't warranted, because he ended up in that position because of the decision that he made. But yet God prepared a way for him to be used, even in spite of that. And so then Jonah decides to go. He comes to the realization that God has given him a direction. God has looked after him in the belly of the whale, and he's come up on dry land, and so he is obedient to God's call, and he goes and he delivers the message. And in delivering that message, the people change, their hearts change, their mindset change, that it said from the least, from the greatest to the least of them, that they took off their clothes, they put on burlap, they sacrificed, and they did not eat anything. They wouldn't even let their animals eat anything. Their animals were put in sackcloth. They gave a full repentance of what Jonah told them, because God had told them that he was going to destroy the city because of their wickedness. And so now tonight we're going to be looking at, are you angry with God? You would think that Jonah has no reason to have any discord whatsoever. He's had this talk, this prayer with God. He comes to realization about what he needs to do. He goes and he delivers that. People's hearts are changing, and yet Jonah's not happy. Jonah is absolutely not happy, and I really want to get into some questions. Why isn't he happy? What should be his response? And then God's response to him. So if someone could read, and we got five questions again tonight that we're gonna go through the study. So if someone could read Jonah 4, verses 1 through 3, please.
Okay, I have the message.
Yeah, let's hear from the message, and then can I get a quick roll call, Dr. Susie? Is anyone else showing up besides the three of us at
sure.
this point?
Sure.
Brett.
Sure. We've
Brett, Brother Brett.
We've got Brett and Brother Ivan's on you know, as always, she's on,
okay,
on the line. And, of course, she
glad
can't
to have you
to work.
Right.
And that's who we have for now, this quiet. We have some quiet folk on the line, but they're listening.
All right, well, we're glad to have them. We're glad to have them. So if we can hear the message first, well, no. Brett, do you have your Bible handy by chance? Are you able to read?
Yes, I got it.
Can you read verses 1-3? Let me hear that verse and then to the message, Dr. Susie.
Okay, this is from the New International Version.
Okay.
But to Jonah, this seemed very wrong. He became angry. He prayed to the Lord. Isn't this what I said, Lord, when I was still at home? That is what I tried to foresaw by fleeing to Tarsus. I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sinning. I don't have my glasses on. Sending calmly. 3. Now the Lord take away my life, for it is better for me to die than to live.
Okay, Dr. Susan, can we hear that from the message?
Yes, you can. And the and I just want you to know the title says, I knew this was going to happen.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I really need to hear this one then.
Jonah was furious. He lost his temper. He yelled at God, God, I knew it. When I was back home, I knew this was going to happen. That's why I ran off to Tarshish. I knew you were sheer grace and mercy, not easily angered, rich in love, and ready at the drop of a hat to turn your plans of punishment into a program of forgiveness. So, God, if you won't kill them, kill me, because I'm better off dead.
Any of y'all had a conversation with God like that?
Well,
yeah.
Come on, somebody.
Huh? Maybe not that extreme, but close.
Oh, yeah.
Why? Why would you have that conversation with God?
This is Britt. I was in the place to seem like I had no way out.
Ah. Okay.
I was angry with God because I lost my daughter.
Amen.
Yeah. Those are reasons to probably have that conversation, but the one that Jonah's having, do you think that's appropriate?
Jonah.
God.
I think
go
Jonah
ahead,
lost
Dr. Nook.
He got his place.
Well, first of all, he lied. I mean, he said that he knew that this is what God was going to do. He did not know that this is what God was going to do. He ran to Tarshish because he was scared. And he thought God was really going to destroy them. That's why he didn't go to Tarshish. Now he's, because God didn't destroy them, now he says, I knew this is what you were going to do. You were going to forgive them. Or you weren't. That isn't what he thought. He thought that God was going to destroy them, and he thought that he was going to get killed by them, by going in there telling them what God told him to tell him. So,
absolutely.
I mean, so he's mad at God. I guess maybe he was mad at God before for telling him to go in there in the first place. That's why he ran to Tarshish. Now, when he goes and he's okay and people don't kill him, he's still mad at God. I mean,
the reality of it is, he's been mad with God since this chapter opened. And then he came to his senses in the belly of the fish, the great fish, and God showed him the kindness and mercy that God has now shown the Ninevites. And now he's still mad. But this is the part that I want us to really examine. is that he's mad because what he predicted is not going to happen. Not that people are being saved, but because of what he said is not going to happen.
Yeah.
He didn't put the value. He hasn't put the value on the words of encouragement. He hasn't put the value on the words that change the people's life to change. He's only concerned about because what he said isn't going to happen. And then he says, well, just kill me. You ain't going to kill them, then just kill me.
But you know, Eric, this is Dr. Susie. I got just a tad bit perspective. Sometimes folks are so into themselves, their own personal self-interest, that they ain't concerned about God's ways and God's mercy. They ain't concerned. They just only concerned about themselves. And I see Jonah here is just rejecting the goodness of God. Like you said a minute ago, he was okay when God forgave him. He was okay when God was merciful to him. He was okay when God showed grace to him. But he didn't want God to do that to the Ninevites. And it's a bunch of people that I know, have known, that don't mind if God zonks everybody else and whoops up on everybody else, but they never want to be held accountable for what they do.
My Lord.
Yeah. Yeah. So why do we get angry when God changes the plan? God is omnipotent, omnipresent. God is God. God has put everything in motion. So why do we get mad and angry with God when he changes his plan? Like we driving the bus.
Doesn't go along with our plan. Yeah. I got you know that ain't what you're supposed to do. Oh, my Lord.
But
you're absolutely right,
Jonah,
Dr. Nook.
Jonah has some previous experiences with some of the previous prophets like Amos and Hosea. And he knew that Assyria would be Israel's destroyer, so he wanted them to get beat up bad. It's like when you know or you think somebody's going to get you, you're like, oh, God, you get them first. You dog them out. You know, that way you don't have to worry about us getting it. You know, if you dog them out good enough, they won't be coming back after us. But it's because we don't want to be, again, accountable for what it is that God asks us to do. And we feel like we can mess up and jack around and screw around and be nilly-willy sometimes in and sometimes out. Come on, somebody. And God's supposed to God's not supposed to forgive other folks.
You say sometimes in and sometimes out, and we mostly out and only in a little bit. And Jonah is out right here. Jonah is really way out right here.
Way
because
out.
if you say that I knew that you were gracious and a compassionate God, slow to get angry and full of unfailing love.
Yeah.
And you say I know that about you, then why are you angry with God when he displays that to someone other than you? How could we be angry about that? And that's a problem because you're absolutely right. We see that today within our church and with outside of our church. A part of also, and you know, Dr. Susan and Dr. Nooks both have taught on discipleship. But a part of us being followers of Christ is that we're supposed to share that news so that somebody else who may not be feeling God, Jesus' love that he has given us that is unwarranted, that we should want them to have that too. We shouldn't be trying to keep it to ourselves. We should be sharing that. Hey, I know you're going through something, brother. Let me tell you about the Lord I serve and what he's done for me, and he'll do the same thing for you. And this is how you draw down that power. These are the things that you do. And I'm going to be here to help you with that if you need help or be able to help you walk through this. But we don't do that. We see them struggling, and we're like, I'll say a prayer for you.
And this goes even further because this, like Dr. Susie said, the Assyrians are the enemies of the Israelites. So when Jesus says that we should pray for our enemy and those that despitefully use us and mistreat us, I mean, this is the prime example of that. Just think about it. Enemies, if God spares your enemies, when your enemies are killing your people, you know, would that make some of us angry? If like we were in Nazi Germany and Hitler was killing all of our family, and all of a sudden God has a preacher to come into Germany and says, in 40 days, I'm going to destroy Germany, and all of a sudden Hitler gets all put on sackcloth and ashes and recants and starts calling on the name of the Lord.
Yeah.
And all of his Nazi soldiers take off their swastikas and get down on their knees, and all of a sudden God saves Nazi Germany. I mean, that's like a representation of what's going on here, because these people have been killing the Israelites. I mean, I'm not just talking about threats. They've been killing them, chopping their heads off, sticking them on stake, skinning them alive. And all of a sudden, the word of the Lord is spoken. Just how powerful the word of God is. God has prepared the fish. God prepared the messenger. God prepared the message, told him exactly what to say. And when he said it, the people respond and repented and called on the name of the Lord. People didn't know anything about God. And
absolutely.
About, I mean, we got people around here. We've been preaching and teaching. We got Bibles. Five Bibles in houses, and people don't read them. And you know, somebody says the word of the Lord, they don't want to hear it. You know, they don't go to, we got people don't go to church hardly anymore. People are turned off by the church. The message is barely heard. We got freedom of speech and freedom of religion. And people are not hearing the word of God. They're not acting like the Ninevites. People that were the, where Christianity is supposed to be the major religion of this country, but they don't hear the word of God. They don't hear the word of God. But, you can kind of see why Jonah would be a little upset by God sparing the lives of the enemies of his people.
Amen.
But what I want our audience to also understand is this, is that just as, and hear me clearly, just as the Assyrians were the enemy of the Israelites to that degree, so was humankind before Jesus Christ came to wash away our sins. Because once Adam sinned, we were at odds with God. Because God can't stand sin. God is pure and holy and righteous.
Okay.
And so Christ had to come and be that bridge. Just as Jonah is this bridge for the Ninevites that he doesn't want to be, Christ was our bridge to God, and he willingly accepted it. And so why shouldn't we say we're Christians, we're Christ-like, then why shouldn't we be the bridge to those who are outside of the faith right now and witnessing and telling the story of what Christ has done and how they can have right standing and right relationship with God, not because we deserve it, because we don't, but because it has been given a gift to us. And God gave a gift to the Ninevites that Jonah was to preach, but Jonah got angry because God changed his plan. God decided that he wasn't going to destroy them because Jonah's words affected their hearts, as our words should be affecting the hearts of the people that we come into contact with. But I'm going to let our audience in on a little secret. Part of our problem is that we can't teach and preach to people because they're too busy looking at what we do, and what we do ain't
all
what
right
we're saying.
Amen.
Okay.
Well,
our actions and our words are not matching up.
Come on.
And so why shouldn't we worship God's goodness? Why shouldn't Jonah be worshiping God's goodness towards the Ninevites? even though they are their enemies, that those Jonah is absolutely right. He would rather wish all of them be smited than to even have to have to go there to have a conversation with them. I mean, he didn't want to go have that conversation with them, as Dr. Luke said. First, he thought they was going to kill him because they were sworn enemies. Then he gets there. Then he delivers the word, and the people's heart changed. And I would think that he should be worshiping God's goodness. Not only the goodness that God showed him through delivering him through the belly of the great fish, but also to other mankind.
Amen. We should, Brother Teacher, but why don't we? And that's the issue.
That's the question.
Even now, in the churches, one congregation gets mad at another congregation. One denomination gets mad at another denomination. We get mad at somebody that sits in our seat in church. I mean, we get mad about all kinds of silly stuff. And we don't act like we are excited when people come to God that we think have done us wrong,
absolutely.
Or we think they don't deserve God, or we don't believe it. We don't believe, you know. And maybe Joni didn't understand this. I mean, because he just wanted his enemies crushed, and many of us want our enemies crushed, and we're Christians. And our eyes are not the eyes of God. We're not seeing things through spiritual eyes. We're seeing things through physical eyes. And that's why our
God say,
understand. Go ahead.
What did God say? My ways are not your way.
Amen. Amen.
All right.
thank God that's true. Thank God that's
Amen.
True. Because would none of us be here.
Amen.
All right.
So our prayer needs to be that we can see through the eyes of God, see people differently, see situations differently. Because we should be rejoicing if our enemies are saved. But it's hard for us to get to that point, to really see them as children of God, even though they're our enemies. God still loves them.
So let me ask this question, because you bring up the point, Dr. Nix, you bring up the point. So can we not get there because we think that we are more than God, or that we think our agenda is more important than God's agenda, or do we just revert to our selfishness and our rebellion of God, or do we just think, well, it's okay, I can say a prayer a little later and God will forgive me and I can move on?
Lord. Yes, all that. All that.
And
it's different with different people, but yeah, all that. We do all that.
Yeah.
Go
ahead, Brett.
Yeah, I think a lot of it has to do with a jealousy or a type of jealousy.
Ooh.
Because I've seen a lot of churches, one talks about the other one and vice versa. And and you would think, like you said, that we're all Christians, or at least that's what we're claiming. Then we should all believe in the one faith, one Lord, one baptism. And a lot of people claim it, but they don't act on it. And a lot of that has to do with maybe your pastor can speak more eloquently than my pastor can, or there's something going on that causes the rival to be there. And usually when you break it down, it's usually something very petty, something that if you can get to the source of it, you'll find out that it was probably started by a couple of people getting into an argument, and then everybody else jumped
yep.
in on it. But that's usually
yeah.
the way it is.
Yep. I told you, I've said this before and before. I remember standing in the sanctuary hall. Here I go in the sanctuary,
mm-hmm.
the vestibule, and heard this conversation. It's like, I can't stand her. And the girl said, what you got against her? No, it gets better. The girl said, what you got against her? I said, my mama didn't like her mama, and I don't like her. She said, you never even talked to her? No, my mom didn't like her mother, and I don't like her. And I'm like, I need to be going to another church. I kid you not, and I'm like, I can't believe that. But that was happening. That was happening as people were waiting to go into service.
Yes.
All right.
All the time.
And
that kind of stuff happens all the time. Churches all across the country.
So, Brother Eric, as we listen to that, and some of our radio audience listeners may be, you know, some of those people who are doing that. And I guess what we're trying to say is that, you know, being a child of God, we got to show some love. You know, that's the
Absolutely.
Whole point of this thing about Jonah, is that we
Absolutely.
It's not acceptable. It's not acceptable to hate, to hold anger. God calls us to agape love, which is the highest form. And no matter what it is, we got to get to it. And when it talks about the word love in the Bible, it doesn't talk about a one-time thing. It talks about a
continual
type of love, a continual giving of love.
Amen.
Absolutely. So given that, let's look at verses 4 through 6. And let me hear one of the traditionals, and then let me hear the message, Dr. Susie. 4 through 6.
Okay.
I've got the New Living Translation. Let me read out New Living Translation, and then let me hear the message. Then the Lord replied, "Is it right for you to be angry about this?" Then Jonah went to the east side of the city and made a shelter to sit under as he waited to see if anything would happen to the city. And the Lord God arranged for a leafy plant to grow there. And soon it spread its broad leaves over Jonah's head, shading him from the sun. This eased some of his discomfort. And Jonah was very grateful for the plant.
Amen.
So let me hear that from the message.
God said, "What do you have to be angry about?" But Jonah just left. He went out of the city to the east and sat down in a sulk. He put together a makeshift shelter of leafy branches and sat there in the shade to see what would happen to the city. God arranged for a broadleaf tree to spring up. It grew over Jonah to cool him off and get him out of his angry sulk. Jonah was pleased and enjoyed the shade. Life was looking up.
So the Lord asked, "Is it right for you to be angry about this?"
Mm-hmm.
Now let me ask this question. Mm-hmm. How many of you, even as adults, if your parents asked you a question, wouldn't you turn them an answer?
Well,
yes.
Mm-hmm. And what does Jonah do?
Went off and sulked like a little child.
He didn't even think it was worth it to even turn an answer. On this question about God changing his mind about destroying these people. He didn't even think it was worth of him turning God an answer. So he's still angry.
Yeah, he's mad. He's mad.
Yeah. And he still wants the Lord to execute in wrath. He's still pouting about
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Yeah, and it says he just went off and went, you know, wanted to go see what was going to happen to the city.
Yeah.
And God has already said, you know, hey, they stopped their evil ways. He had mercy on them. He didn't carry out the destruction.
But Brother Eric, I want to ask the question in a way that I want us to think about this. We should never angrily, come on somebody, listen, angrily question what God does, even when it differs from what we expect or what we want. Now, I'm not saying we don't ask questions. That ain't what I'm saying. But we don't ever be disrespectful, angrily question what God does. Jonah's just tripping. I mean, he's tripping.
Yeah, he's out there, and he's at, and we've all heard that saying, they so far and left, you know, they're so far out there in left field. Well, I got one better. He's so far in left field, he's sitting in the stands watching because he's not even in the game anymore. He's out of it.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he really is. And so with Dr. Susie's question and statement, which is true, my question is that why do we need to see things go our way and not God's way? Why does he feel the need that he has to see things go his way where this great people is destroyed as opposed to God's way, who's had mercy and was saving these folks? How is it that we, as Christians, if we're truthful, how is it that we as Christians cannot be happy when God moves in somebody else's life that makes it possible, that saves their life, that makes their life better? Why can't we appreciate that and worship God as being an awesome God? But yet, we get angry because we want to see it go the way that we think it should go.
This is Brett. Yeah, I think if you really look at this the way that you just described this, it's like what little kids do nowadays. Parents say something, they go off, they'll go way out in the yard somewhere and sit down or play and do something, and just sulk and act like children. And that's exactly what Jonah's doing. No, his heavenly father has already punished him, but he's still angry at his heavenly father for being put on punishment because he did something that was dumb in the first place. So now he's showing even more rebellious because, hey, you know, you sitting up there, you going against God, you don't like what God is telling you and stuff, and you're going to do what you want to do anyway. So you're just going to sit and wait and watch and see what happens. Now, the first time he got swallowed up by a whale, you don't know what's out there in the desert, you know.
And don't you think, look, Brett, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Don't you think that should have been enough, 3 days in the belly of a fish? Wouldn't that have been enough?
You would think.
You but would it's think. Not.
But you know how some of these kids are, too.
How some of us are. We go through some situations, and God is trying to get our attention, and it ought to be enough, and we run right through the stop sign like it ain't even there.
Yeah, but see, that also goes back to the fact, that's why we have said this over the years that we've been doing the Bible study, everybody walk in faith is at a certain level. Jonah
absolutely
was not where he should have been, even though he's talking with God.
Absolutely.
What I wouldn't do to be able to talk to God and have an interaction like he's sitting there with me. Come on now. Shoot.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't have an intermediary. God is speaking to him directly.
Mm-hmm.
Just like we're on this line right now, God is speaking to him directly.
Mm-hmm.
And yet here he is. God asks him a question. He doesn't even turn to answer. Runs out and sulks. Builds him a little shelter, trying to get some shade to see what's going to happen.
There you
and
go.
Then the Lord even helps him out some more. The Lord prepares a great leafy plant to shade his head. Now
I kept thanking Britt for taking us back to the story, to look back at the story. I kept asking the question when Brett was saying, well, he spanked him a little bit because he went the wrong direction. Then when he got going the right direction, then you would think he learned enough to where he would have himself together, and then he got nerve enough to get attitude and be argumentative and be argumentative. But one of the things I see in this is the love that God has for Jonah. I never stopped to look at it before, but he is, you know, we've jokingly said he treats him like a child, like he's acting like a child.
Right.
But God is, you can tell that he's God's own, the way God has touched him and cared for him and put up with him and given him other options. And I guess we need to see that God is patient with us sometimes. God is not always, people want to think that God is a mean, angry God. God's been patient through this whole story with Jonah, nurturing,
mm-hmm.
loving him,
right.
putting up a tree to protect him from the heat. So this is
Dr.
the story as well
Dr.
about
Susie.
A loving
Dr.
God.
Dr. Susie. Dr. Susie.
Yeah.
God is loving to everyone in this story.
Right.
Amen. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
But we were talking about Jonah with his hard head.
Right.
And I just wanted to forget that God will be that way with us, his children.
He will be that way with us.
And those who
but
will
he
not
will also be. Right. He will
Amen.
Be that way with us, but he will also be that way with those people that we should have an opportunity to witness to about his goodness and his unfailing love.
Amen.
Amen.
Which
Amen.
Is what we are here for.
Come on.
And Brother Eric, it's because God loves everybody. God desires to
Absolutely.
Be in relationship with everybody. So what he was doing with the Nineveh, he was trying to let Jonah know, wait a minute. I love them too. You know, I love them
yep.
too. So I don't know how we can go to the table and go, well, the United States, God's got the United States on our side. Well, come on, wait a minute.
No,
God is
God
everything. For all of God's people.
Amen.
God's got justice. Righteousness. Don't get it twisted. If you do something
right.
wrong, you're going to get your butt spanked. And sometimes we run when America gets her butt spanked and we don't want to deal with the issues. We get our butt spanked
Amen.
When we don't do what's right.
Come on.
Absolutely. So Jonah has gotten upset with God because God has changed his plans. And then he tells that, I knew before I left home that you was going to do this. You wasn't going to smite them and take them out of the world. So because you didn't do that, just kill me. And God is like, wait a minute. Why would I do that? Why would I kill you? I sent you to help deliver these people. I'm your God. I'm in relationship with you.
That's it.
You know?
It.
And then the Lord asked him, is it right for you to be angry about this? And having a conversation,
well,
and Jonah turns and storms away and goes out and builds a little booth out of, you know, leaves. And then the Lord says, okay, well, I'm going to do one better. I'm going to give you a big one to help shield your head, you know, your big head, your big head from
yeah.
your son. And so now let's look at verses 7 and 8 and see what God does now. So Dr. Lewis, can you read 7 and 8? And then Dr. Susie, can you read the message after he completes that?
And this is the New International Version. But at dawn the next day, God provided a worm which chewed the plant so that it withered. When the sun arose, God provided a scorching east wind, and the sun blazed on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. He wanted to die and said, it would be better for me to die than to live.
Okay. Dr. Susan, can you read that in the message? Because I'm interested to hear this commentary.
But then God sent a worm. By dawn of the next day, the worm had bored into the shade tree and it withered away. The sun came up and God sent a hot, blistering wind from the east. The sun beat down on Jonah's head and he started to faint. He prayed to die. Oh, I'm better off dead.
So let me ask this question. Yeah, 7 and 8.
Mm-hmm.
But let me ask this question. This is the second time that Jonah has said, he killed me or I'm better off dead. And the scripture in Psalms clearly tells us, how can those who are dead worship the Lord?
There you go.
How can those in the grave worship the Lord? So he is saying that he would rather not be able to worship the Lord than to be in the Lord's presence. He has said that twice.
Yes, he has.
How
God.
Yep, there you go.
It's like he forgot that he was just in the belly of the fish and praised God in the belly of the fish. I mean,
absolutely.
It had just been a few days.
Absolutely.
Us, y'all. God blesses us when we're in a bad situation. We get out of it, and then we forget, you know, and then we have a little problem, and, oh, Lord, I'm going to die. And you just been delivered, and you forgot that God delivered you. I mean, he just came out of the belly of the fish. He was supposed to die, and he's excited. Lord, I'm going to do anything you tell me.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, oh, God, why did you do that? I just let me die right now. Just thank you, Lord. I'm coming, Lord.
Oh, Jesus.
I mean, this is us. He is us.
Who in their right mind would rather be dead than to be in fellowship and worship with the Lord?
Amen. Lord have mercy.
Obviously, we know the heat must have been given to Jonah's brain. But, you know, it's really, we can see that God was giving him a visual picture, man, you know? A visual picture of what is going on. Gave him a vine, provided shade. And the same God that provided the fish, you know, was God over the ocean and the water, is God over the land and the vegetation. You know, and I think we need to understand that he's trying to give Jonah a visual representation. Jonah, you obviously can't get it on your own, so I'm trying to show you I give and I take away. I'm trying to show you that I'm the one. So, you know, and I just wanted to air, what if God had just said, fine. You want to die? We can make that happen.
Yeah,
too.
absolutely. He absolutely could do that. But God wants to show us that a lot of times
it's compassion.
Our demeanor isn't correct in the situation.
Absolutely, and that's
a huge thing. Our demeanor is not correct in the situation, and so. So God has prepared this leaf, and he did it to show his love for Jonah, and Jonah still couldn't get what God was trying to get at. So now God takes it away, to, as you said, to give him a visual realization and take it away. And then Jonah again says, well, I'd just be better off dead.
But
Go ahead. And what I'm going to say is, let me ask this question first, Dr. Susie. How could any of us, and again, in our right mind, say that we would be better off being dead than to be in fellowship and worship with the Lord? No. Because, and what I want our audience to understand is that Jonah is saying this before Christ came. So he ain't sure what is going to happen in death. We have an understanding now. If you die in Christ, we have an understanding, so we understand what that looks like. But here, he doesn't know. It hasn't been defined in the Old Testament, except for very few people, what's going to happen after they die. And yet he makes this statement twice. Just kill me, I'd be better off dead. And there's something fundamentally wrong with that, and that shows up in us, maybe not to that extent, but our reaction to what is going on is not correct. And then God has to get us back to where we need to be. Go ahead, Dr. Susan.
Let's not go too far from that because I don't forgot the other one, but this is too important. Our suicide rate right now is off the charts.
Yeah.
Amen.
And you know, we're hearing what you just said, Eric, is, you know, when we can't have our way, when things don't go right, when things are challenged, we want to give up. Jonah was so, how many times he's asking over and over, I might as well be dead. I mean, come on,
yeah.
Really. Do we not? And I know times get hard. I know things get rough. I know times are challenging. I'm talking to somebody out there in radio land who on the verge of giving up, that you done gone through some stuff. It feels like you've been in the belly of a fish. You feel like you've been puked up on the bank. You feel like life is just torn you down. You feel like when you need to have some shelter, all you got is heat. It's challenging, and you want to give up. Jonah said, might as well
be dead. God is able.
Amen.
God is able.
And we, brothers and sisters, and when you're facing that, cannot, because hope is in Christ Jesus. That is our only hope.
Amen.
And you've got to cling to that. You've got to cling to that like this. You can't cling to anything else, because that will see you through. Even in the midst of all the heartache, the pain, and the trouble, God will sustain you. Jesus will pull you through. The Holy Spirit will guide and direct you if you allow them.
And you know, and I think sometimes people get angry. You know, I don't know why God is putting this on my heart, but Eric, these young folks dealing with bullying, Assyria was a bully. They were the bully
yes.
of the bullies. But yet, come on, somebody, God said, you're wrong, you got to stop it, or I am going to take care of you. But they chose to repent, to stop their behavior, and God gave them a chance. But guess what? God was going to take care of them if they weren't going
Absolutely.
To do what God to do.
Absolutely.
So we need to understand when we're being challenged by bullies, when we're being challenged by life, when we're, like you said, Eric, to continue to have hope that the God, even if you don't see yourself as a Christian, God loves you still.
Amen.
Don't give up.
Come on.
Don't
and he loved,
faith.
He
don't
loved you
hope.
So much that he loved you so much that he sent his only begotten son to die on the cross for all of us. That if we should believe
all
in
right.
our heart
Amen.
And confess with our mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior,
Jesus.
That we
That's
shall
it.
Be saved.
Amen.
That's right. That's right. Amen.
Amen.
And
Dr.
raised
Susie.
From the
Amen.
Dead.
So Jonah has gotten angry, wants to die because the plan has died. And then 9 through 11, then God said to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry because the plant died? Yes, Jonah retorted. Even angry enough to die, he said it a third time.
Oh,
then the
God.
Lord said, you feel sorry about the plant, though you did nothing to put it there.
My Lord.
And a plant is only at best live a short time. But Nineveh has more than 120,000 people living in spiritual darkness, not to mention all the animals.
Wow.
God loves animals too. And then God asked this question. Shouldn't I feel sorry for such a great city? You feel sorry for the plant. You didn't do anything to put it there. I put the people in Nineveh. Shouldn't I feel sorry for them because they repented? They were living in spiritual
right.
darkness.
Well, come on.
So why can't
Thank
we
you.
See the big picture and not the little one that only pertains to us? Because that's what Jonah was seeing. Jonah wasn't seeing the big picture of God's grace and mercy and love, which he talked about earlier in the chapter, being expanded to everyone else in Nineveh. But he could only see his little small picture where, well, you sent me over here to tell them that they was going to die, and I delivered that, and you ought to do that. And because you didn't do that, I need to die, die, die. Said it three times. So why would he be angry with God? Why would he be angry with God and God is saving people? Why would he be angry with God when God is changing the hearts of people? So if God is changing their hearts, maybe they're not going to be as bad as enemies with Israel anymore, at least till the next king comes about. I mean, there's a whole big picture out there that we don't even see because we only want to see our little small, you know, 5x7.
There you go.
Yep.
I want to read the message. It says, Jonah said, plenty of right. Well, the Lord God said to Jonah, what right do you have to get angry about this shade tree? And Jonah said, plenty of right. It's made me angry enough to die. And God said, what's this? How is it that you can change your feelings from pleasure to anger overnight about a mere shade tree that you did nothing to get? You neither planted nor watered it. It grew up one night and died the next night. So why can't I likewise change what I feel about Nineveh from angry to pleasure? This big city of more than 120,000 childlike people who don't yet know right from wrong, to say nothing of all the innocent animals.
Come on, God. Come on.
Ooh. And so would God be saying to us this day, how can you be angry with them when you kind of dislike them, and I'm trying to reach them and use you because you say that you want to be used by me, and yet I'm trying to use you, and you fighting and arguing with me, telling me that if I ain't going to do it your way, that you don't want any part of, and you just rather be somewhere else? How can you do that if you talk about you my agent? You know, you my mouthpiece. You my child, and you want to act like that?
Exactly.
Shouldn't I have
and
the
I
right
think
to,
that's
should,
what another
and,
thing.
And would God be saying, and Dr. Susan, I'm going to turn it back over to you as soon as I say this. Shouldn't God be saying to us, just like I care for you, just like I provide for you, just like I love you, I need you to understand that I feel the same way about things.
Amen. I think what I was trying to remember earlier, Eric, and forgot, was when you were talking about Jonah. See, Jonah was God's representative. And sometimes I think we have to be careful of how we represent, how we represent God to the world. When we act a fool, it doesn't color God in a good light when other folks are looking to see who and how we act and what we do. So, but that's what I was trying to remember a while back. But this is awesome when we understand that he was saying to the Ninevites that they did not know right from wrong. They didn't have a relationship with God. But for those of us who do, we do. And God wants us to continue growing in that relationship. We need to nurture that relationship. We need to understand and trust God for what God is doing. We didn't plant the tree or tear it down. We don't have, we don't know where the, as he said to the other night, what was his name? Job. I'm thinking about Job. When he cast the, he says, where were you when I put the winds in the far corners of the earth? I mean,
absolutely.
We don't, you know, we don't have any rights. But what we do have and are called to do is to love. And I think that's what, Brother Eric, the question tonight was, have we been angry with God? And I think most of us can say yes. But the question is, so ultimately, what did you want us to understand about that question? Is that we don't have a right, right?
We don't have a right. We don't have a right to be angry with God. We don't have a right to be angry with God when the decisions that we make cause us to be in the situation that we're in. We don't have a right to be angry with God when God is showing kindness and mercy to people who we think don't deserve it. We don't have a right to be angry with God. What we have a right to do and an obligation to do is to be in fellowship and worship with God, because that's what God wants from us, is a true, authentic relationship. And in a true, authentic relationship with God, you can have a conversation, you can have a dialect, but it ain't going to be based on anger. It's going to be based on the respect and the love that you have.
I would even take that a little step further, and I was thinking about my situation of being angry with God because I lost my child. See, I don't have a right to be angry with God because I didn't create him. I didn't have a right to be angry with God because I have to trust God's omniscience. He is God, and I'm created. He's creator. I got to know that God loves. And we got a lot of people who get angry and give up on God because we didn't get our way. And that's the same thing that happened right here with Jonah. Jonah didn't get his way, so he was mad. I didn't get my way and get to keep my child here. God had another plan, another vision for her life that each of us has a purpose for. But I have to trust. You have to trust. We all have to trust that God is doing what is best for our lives. It's not always things that we like, as in the case of Jonah. It's not always things that make us happy. It's things that often can make us sad, and sometimes we don't even understand why. But we have to have that relationship that we talk about all the time with God to trust and to believe that he has our best interest at heart, no matter what the situation or circumstance.
Amen.
Amen. Can we get a praise report somewhere, somebody, before we leave here, a praise report? And I know we got prayer requests, but somebody's got to have a praise report somewhere. Brother,
this is Eric. This is Eric. I've got one. Our organization, given all the stuff we've been going through all these, last couple of years with all these investigations and all that stuff, just got word today that we're going to be awarded $80,000 from the local community foundation to continue some of the work that we've been doing with the homeless. And so even in the midst of all the foolishness and all of that, God
praise
is still
God.
Making a way for us to do the work
praise
that God,
God
has called us to do. And I'm very thankful for that.
Amen.
Praise God. I want to ask for a prayer for James. Jamie is in a hospital now as we speak. A couple of things have happened. He's been doing really good in school and had this great art project, and they had placed him over it, and they were going to put the art in one of the hospitals in Indianapolis, and he was designated the project designer and coordinator. And he got sick. And I asked for prayer because in Jamie's mind is I get two steps forward and then have to take three steps back. Every time I get an opportunity, it seems like something else happens to take it away or to diminish that to where I'm starting back all over again. And so I'm asking for prayer for him that he would be strengthened and that God would reveal to him other opportunities that are even greater than this. Because
amen.
I believe God's got some other things in store. So help him have hope and to encourage him where he is and what God has in store. I ask for the same prayer as I'm not employed and I'm looking for employment and asking God to bless me. Dr. Nooks, anybody else have any other praise reports or prayer requests? Everybody's family doing well? Lift us up, Brother Mark, Brother Lester, Seanette, Dr. Edwards, Dee, who said he couldn't be here tonight, but he joined us next week. Thank God for Brother Carter, and thank you, Brother Bridge, Dr. Nooks, and Brother Eric for such a phenomenal lesson. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Eric, would you close us out?
Amen.
Gracious Father, we come before you, that humble service, thanking you for this day and this opportunity, thanking you for, most of all, your Son, Jesus Christ, who willingly became a blood sacrifice. We know that we are not worthy for the sacrifice, but that you have given it as a gift. So let us live in such a way, Father, that we have accepted that gift and to live way that please, honor, and glorify you, Lord God Almighty, for nothing that we truly say or do could show you how thankful we are for your Son, Jesus Christ, for his death on the cross and his resurrection. Father, I ask that you would move in James' life, and that you would strengthen him and give him the hope and guidance needed to get through these situations that we don't understand why they continue happening, and they seem so unfair, Father, but we know that you don't make mistakes. We know that you have all of us in the palm of your hand to carry out our lives. The scripture tells us that even the very hairs on our head are numbered.
Amen.
And that if you care so much for the birds of the air and the flowers of the field, how much more do you care for your children? May you bless Dr. Susie as she looks and depends on you for that ministry work, Father, where she can make a difference in the lives of people. For you have gifted her, Father, with such knowledge and such compassion for the ministry and the work. You have prepared her over the years for her next occupation. And we know that it is in your field, working with your people, loving
Amen.
Your people, teaching your people, disciplining your people, providing them with all that they need to be able to worship you in spirit and in truth with an authentic relationship. Ask that blessings upon Brother Brett and his health. Ask that blessings that you would continue to strengthen him and uphold him, guide him in all the ways that you need him to, that he will feel your comfort, and that he will know that you would never leave him or forsake him. For you gave that promise to all of us.
Yes,
bless Dr. Nooks and the work that he does, the people that he counsels, the people that he speaks to, that they may begin, that they may continue to see in him your love, because you put that in us, that if we would become your children and praise and worship and grow close to you, that you would put your love in us so that this dying world could see that we could be the change agents that we need to be for this world that you have placed us in. So continue to bless his work, Father. Continue to bless Dr. Edwards and the work that he does with the disciples, Christian, the church, Father. Continue to bless Sean as she ministers to the folks in her arena and with her work. Continue to bless all those others who have been a part of this Bible study, Father, for over the 12 years. There have been some that have come and gone and whose names we may not remember. But keep holding them up, Father. Keep strengthening them. Keep speaking to their hearts and their minds, gracious Lord, and let the Holy Spirit rest, rule, and abide in their lives, as it's supposed to be for all of us, Father.
Yes.
Me, your humble servant, just continue to give me the guidance and the direction to continue to worship, praise, honor, and glorify you, and to deliver that to those that I come into contact with.
Yes,
that my tongue won't cleave to the roof of my mouth, that I will be able to yell from the mountaintop about your righteousness, your truth, and your Son, Jesus Christ, saving grace and power. But, Father, when it's all said and done, we've got to stand before you and answer for every word, deed, thought, done, or undone. But let it be so, Father, that when we do, that all that are called to be your children can stand before you and say, Lord, I did carry out the commandment that you gave me, Father.
Yes, Lord.
I spoke to those who were down low. I spoke to those who were up high. I spoke to those who were in need. I spoke to those who didn't need, because we all need Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So let us do that, Father. And we will praise, honor, and glorify you and give you all the thanks for all that you have done in our lives. For it's in your precious Son, Jesus Christ's name, we pray. Amen.
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 Bless you.
Thanks for listening to Your Place Love Connection, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment.